Books of the Bible. God told Hosea the prophet to marry a prostitute to illustrate Israel's unfaithfulness to God and God's faithful love for Israel. When Hosea's wife returned to prostitution and was enslaved, he bought her back and loved her. When you are mistreated and abandoned, remember that is how you treated God. But if you turn to God, He will forgive you. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, it's Witness Wednesday, and this, of course, is Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks in the studio. Todd and team, of course, are roaming around Kennesaw State University today looking for students to chat with. So let's not waste a whole lot of time, and let's instead ease our way out to eavesdrop on Todd right now on campus at Kennesaw State University.
One thing is certain. The man sitting to my right is smarter than I am because Chad is studying computer. What are you studying?
Computer science.
I don't even know what it is exactly. All right. You're a math guy.
Somewhat.
Well, I hope so. You got to be a math guy to do computer science, right?
I like math, but it's more problem solving than it is math.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So computer science. And when you grow up and you get out of this place, what do you want to do with that degree?
Just get a programming job that pays well.
Why? I'm asking you a philosophical question. This is like big now. Why are you, Chad, spending money and energy and brain cells to become a computer scientist so you can go get a job and make money? Is that the end of it? Is that the chief aim of your studies?
I guess. Because, you know, I don't really plan on changing the world with it. I mean, there's other things I could do, but that's not like all of me, I guess.
I'm going to use a big word, and you might not know it, so I might have something on you. All right. I'm going to ask you a teleological question, okay? Purpose. What I'm asking you about is your purpose. What is your purpose? Why are you doing anything that you're doing, including studying to get a degree? What's the point?
I guess one day to have a family and to be able to provide for them.
Why?
That's the way it's always been done.
Yeah, that's kind of why I got married. I didn't really think about it much, but it's like, that's kind of what you do. And then you have babies. And that's what life is. Okay. But from a teleological standpoint, purpose, like, is there any meaning to what you're doing? Is there a purpose for your existence? Is there anything beyond just what we happen to do day after day?
Can you define teleo?
Yeah, that you, but you're a computer scientist guy, so you know that programs are hardwired to do a particular thing. You're designed more than any computer science program. Is there any reason for your function? Like, is there any, you want to get married and have kids, but let's just say I want to grow 800 pounds of potatoes. That's what I want to do for life. All right. What's the point of all of this? What are we doing here is my question.
I guess just to do what you would like to do, I guess.
Okay. So then we die and we become worm food?
Physically.
Is there any transcendent meaning to the things that you and I do?
I guess it depends on who you ask, because...
You!
Yeah, okay. Well, I'm a Christian, so... Okay. I believe that, you know, there is an afterlife, and, you know, they always tell you, like, oh, you know, do good, or whatever, but it's, you know, love God.
So would you say that then your point, your reason for existing then is to love God?
It's one of the big ones.
One of the big ones. Anything else?
You know, I just like to be a nice guy, I guess help others too.
All right. So let me ask you then, you're a Christian. I come and sit down on this bench with you and I say, Chad, I'm not a Christian, but I've been watching you. You're a good guy. And you study hard, and you're going to do well. You'll probably get married, have kids. And you're a Christian, so I'm interested in becoming a Christian. Chad, why should I become a Christian like you?
feel like I should have an answer for this already. But
all right.
I don't know if I would say you should, more so that I, you know, I hope you would, but, you know, I feel like everybody's on their own, you know, journey through life, and I don't know if there's any right or wrong. Like, you know, I have friends that are other religions, and, you know, it's hard to, you know, someone like, let's say, for example, if I had a friend who's Jewish, born Jewish, raised Jewish, it's hard to convince them, you know, to switch. But at the end of the day, you know, they're still my friend. I still care about them.
You and I can get along if we're not the same thing. But I'm asking, I'm coming up to you and I'm saying, dude, I'm interested in becoming a Christian. Go.
Well, I would recommend, you know, honestly asking someone who knows more than I do. Obviously, a church is a great place to start. A Bible. And knowing why you want to become a Christian.
I think. Then let me ask that. Why are you a Christian?
Christian family.
You're in the Bible Belt.
Yeah. You know, the South, it's...
But you're an adult. You don't have to follow in your family's footsteps. Why are you, as a grown man, claiming to be a Christian? Must be something about it that's good.
You know, because when it comes to religions, it's, you know, it's impossible to, you know, definitively prove or disprove. So I guess since it's never been disproven, there's no reason for me to stop believing.
Would you be so persuaded of the rightness of your beliefs that you'd be willing to die for your beliefs?
Are we talking Christianity or just anything? Honestly, no.
That's fair. All right. Fair enough. All right. So what do you think it would take to put you over the line from, yeah, I'm into it, my group with my family, but no, I'm actually all in. This is my faith. This is what I believe. This is what I am willing to die for. What do you think it would take to persuade you to that level?
That's a good question. I'm not sure. I guess I figure I would just know.
I'm going to ask you a specific question because I know enough about Christianity to know the word gospel. That it's a big word, it's a big deal in Christianity. What is the gospel?
The book of God.
I think those are the gospels, like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But the gospel is a message. Do you know what it is?
Maybe.
Fair. It's all right, dude. It's okay. All right. It's okay. Just asking. All right. This is what I think the gospel is. It means good news. That's what the word actually means. Gospel means good news. So that indicates that there is bad news. What is the bad news of Christianity?
Probably the hell part.
Yes, I would agree. That sounds like bad news. All right. Do you believe that hell exists?
Yes.
Who do you think goes there?
Non-believers and sinners.
Do you think you should go there?
I think it's a maybe.
Let's test it. Ready? And I'll answer these questions too. All right. Let's just say you die, Chad, whenever God decides you're done. I'm calling you to give an account for your life. In other words, it's judgment day for Chad. The books are opened and he has better surveillance than just cameras on a campus. He knows your thought life, everything you've done in darkness and private, what you failed to do. Everything is recorded in a particular book with your name on it, Chad's life. And he sees everything. Do you think that he would find you innocent or guilty based on what is recorded in that book?
I guess it kind of depends because everyone's a sinner and everyone, you know, makes mistakes. I guess it depends on how forgiving he is.
All right, let's just open up the books for a moment without getting into details. Truth is a big deal for God. Have you ever told lies?
Yes.
How many?
I don't know.
How many lies does a person need to take before they are considered a liar? One.
One?
I mean, somebody steals something, they're a thief, right? You tell a lie, you're a liar.
I'm a killer. Murderer. Yeah.
All right. Let me just ratchet this up for you about murder. Have you ever murdered somebody?
No.
Ever been angry at somebody?
Yes.
What if the Bible said that's like murdering in your heart? It's not doing the action, so it's not as terrible as taking somebody's life, but that's the sentiment. You get angry at somebody, unjustly angry, it's like murder in your heart. Just like committing adultery is an act, but even thinking about lusting after somebody is also a violation of God's standards. So if you've ever lusted, if you have ever been angry at somebody, the Bible says you're an adulterer at heart, you're a murderer at heart. Okay? So have you ever lusted? Have you ever been angry at somebody? You'd be like me, guilty.
Yes.
Okay. Dishonored your parents. Did you ever do that?
I'm sure.
And, you know, didn't do what you're told, or you had a sour attitude, or you sass mouthed your mom, or whatever. Okay. Have you ever taken God's name in vain?
Yes.
Okay. So those are some of his laws. The books are open. Regardless of what everybody else in line has done, would you be innocent or guilty, Chad?
Okay, stop. Innocent or guilty? Which one will Chad be? How will he respond to that question? Find out next on Wrong Show. It's actually Witness Wednesday, and this is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Picture this. Every morning, countless Christians are waking up and wondering how they're going to navigate today's increasingly complex and upside-down world, and that's where Fortis Institute comes in. Not just another ministry, but your daily partner in standing firm in biblical truth. I mean, you've probably noticed that we're different from our daily podcasts like Integrated with Dr. John Krotz or Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney. We're bringing together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity to help you and your local church thrive. But here's the thing. This mission, well, it takes resources, and that's where you come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry, you're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. So will you join us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner, and together we can help Christians stand strong in their faith no matter what challenges tomorrow brings. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
The life issue. We cannot disengage from the battle. And there is a way that you can win a life and rescue a soldier who's about to be executed through abortion. Preborn.org/wretched. Ultrasounds still save lives. These pregnancy centers that progressives would love to shut down or arrest people for praying in front of abortuaries, they're still doing excellent work, and babies are still being rescued. This is a tangible way to save a life. An ultrasound is $28. 80% of the time, mom chooses life. Want to engage in the battle? This ain't about politics. This is about saving those who are staggering to the slaughter, period. Preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Just over a century ago, the lost generation emerged from the fog of World War I. Today, we face a new crisis. Young men of Gen Z, that's ages 12 to 29, are caught in the crossfire of a cultural war. Introducing Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, a new production from Fortis Institute. And this is not just another self-help program. No, no, no. It is a spiritual cure from a spiritual problem. Way of Manhood is available now on the Fortis Plus app. You can get there by visiting FortisInstitute.org. And while you're at FortisInstitute.org, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And together we can guide a generation back to the right path. Just visit FortisInstitute.org/donate and learn more about joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. FortisInstitute.org.
Mexican. Pneumatology is a study of the Holy Spirit. Scripture reveals that the Holy Spirit is a person, not a force or manifestation, and He is God, the third member of the Trinity. His work is not to provide emotional highs or show up in glory clouds or gold dust. The work of the Holy Spirit is to bear witness to the Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Okay, we are back on Wretched Radio with the Witness Wednesday. And before our break, Todd was chatting with Chad, and he just inquired if Chad would be innocent or guilty in God's courtroom. So let's find out now how he responds to that question.
Would you be innocent or guilty, Chad?
Guilty.
Like I would be, right? All right, so what should God, who is holy, do with guilty criminals?
Punish them.
Agreed. That's right. And you know what? And we know that because we understand justice. There's something inside of our DNA that says when somebody does a bad thing, they should pay for that. I think that is hardwired in us from God himself because he is just. And he's going to have a day in court with everybody. So everybody who's done everything wrong, all the criminals who got away with things are not going to get away with anything. But his net is broad and it's going to catch all of us because he's so thorough in his righteousness and justice. So the deal, Chad, is the bad news is you and I are in big trouble. God's going to get us. And he's going to deal with us, and he's going to give us what we've earned for ourselves. The wages of our sin is damnation. All right, so that's the bad news, and that's really rotten news. Now, what's the good news of Christianity?
Jesus died on the cross.
That's it.
Yeah.
So 2,000 years ago, Jesus, fully God and a human being, just like human, got a real body, but fully God, lived righteously, never broke a law, never dishonored his parents, never lusted, never lied, always did what was right. So while you and I fall short, he hit the standard every single time, died on a cross, not as a victim, but as a volunteer. And there was something judicial, legal going on. Your resume of sins was placed on Jesus, and God punished him on Chad's behalf. And in exchange, Jesus gives you his resume of righteousness so that you can be forgiven by God. That's the good news, that you can be forgiven for all of your crimes against God because Jesus died for you, a sinner. That's the gospel, right?
Yes.
So here's my question for you. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Would you be willing to die for that belief?
Maybe.
How come maybe?
I guess, you know, I've become accustomed to this life. You know, it'd be a little hard to let go.
You know, it's kind of a loaded question because I don't even know what I would do if you put a gun to my head. You know, my point is, I think what I'm driving at, Chad, is that a message that you would stake your life on? That Jesus died for you, that the most important thing about your life isn't computer science, it's not even having a family and kids, it's that you can be forgiven by God. Do you believe that as an actual historical fact? And do you personally believe it to the point where that's my life, that's what I'm staking my life on? As you sit on this bench, do you think that's true of you?
Yes.
Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he will not see the kingdom of God. That's clear. So whatever that born again thing is, if you have not been born again, you're not going to heaven. So here's my quiz question. What does it mean to be born again?
To be, I guess, to start a new life as a following in the footsteps of God.
Yeah, I think that's a part of it. But to be born again, it implies that you've got to be dead, right? And I think what Jesus was driving at is, Chad, that when you come to the realization that, wow, you know, despite my inclination to think I'm a good person, I'm actually not. I'm not a good guy. In the eyes of God, I'm a bad guy. I'm an outlaw, a criminal, and I deserve his wrath. But God loved me enough to send his son to die for me. You die to yourself. It's like, you know what, Lord, I'm done living my way. I'm done pursuing my things. I want to live for you. Would you please forgive me and bring me into your family? And the Bible says that if you'll do that, that God will forgive you, he will save you, he will adopt you into his family, and he'll grant you everlasting life. And so to be born again implies that there came a time in your life, Chad, where that actually happened for you. You know, you mentioned you grew up in a Christian home, so you kind of go with the program, you went to Sunday school and what have you, but now you're a grown man now. So as an adult, Have you, Chad, come to that place where it's you've gotten downwind from yourself to realize, wow, if I die and God gives me what I deserve, it is not going to be a pretty picture for me, but Jesus died for me and I am going to chase after him the rest of my life because there's just nobody better in the universe than him. You're born again. Has that happened to you?
I don't think so.
That's honest. All right. All right. So now a complete stranger just accosted you on a swing in the middle of a campus. I'm going to walk away. You got something to think about maybe today, huh? And just this might be of interest to you. You know, I was asking you about why you wanted to get a computer science degree. Why did you get a family? Why do you want to have kids? The key to figuring all of that out starts right here. You get into a right relationship with your God, and all of a sudden, it all makes sense. You get a job and work because he works, so I'm going to work because he works, and he's got works for me to do, and he wants me to have a family to glorify him because your marriage to a woman is actually a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of Jesus and the church and the love that they have for one another. So your marriage is like a play for the world to see how Jesus loves the church. You play the role of Jesus. Your wife, she plays the role of the church so that the world can look at your life and go, that's how Jesus loves the church. So it has meaning to it. You have kids because you get to make image bearers of God and teach them about Jesus so that they can love him too. You go to work so that you can provide for that family, but you're doing the work not just to make a paycheck, but to glorify God with your service. So all of life suddenly gets colored with meaning and purpose, and it's not just getting up to doggedly go to work to make money and maybe find a pleasure when you get to go on a vacation. Everything becomes aimed at God. You still do the same tasks, but they have transcendence. They have meaning to them, that you're glorifying God with your existence. So that's what the Christian life is about. As I walk away, Chad, I would just encourage you to think deeply on this, because if it's true that this is a historical reality, then right now, Jesus would say, today is the day of salvation. Repent, turn from your sins, put your trust in him. And he promises, I won't cast Chad out. And know this too, he won't forgive you begrudgingly. He loves to forgive sinners. He loves to welcome people into his family because he's a loving God and he's a good God. And this day could be the day of salvation for you. So that's God's offer of good news. I'll walk away. And the ball, sir, is in your court. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay, and hold on just a second, Todd. Don't go anywhere. We do have a couple of minutes. We had some emails after the show last week, got some positive feedback from our listeners when you took a moment to unpack the conversation you had after your witness encounter. So let's try to do that again. We have a couple of minutes here. Can you take a moment and unpack and talk about your chat with Chad?
All right. I don't mean to lecture or anything, but young Chad had a Tupac Shakur shirt on. How do I know? Because I asked him, because I didn't know myself. I thought it was Lecrae. What do I know? And I thought, okay, this is a kid who probably is into worldly things like the Tupac Shakur fellow, but he has a Christian background. And maybe he was being polite because he's Southern. Maybe he was being polite because he's of a generation that doesn't judge and doesn't want to hurt anybody's feelings. It's possible, and I could be delusional, but I would actually encourage you to look at what just happened here and realize these kids are willing to talk. They will listen to bigger things. And I would like to relieve you of that pressure of feeling like, oh, this is so confrontational. It will be if your desire is not to just talk to the kid. He's as lost as a penny. The kid doesn't know why he wants to get a degree. Well, I guess I'll just go through the steps. People get married. I guess that's what they do. You get to inform him that life can have transcendence and purpose and meaning. You get to do that for somebody. If you come out here with your guns loaded, you're going to get into a shooting match. And it will be contentious. And you know what? It can be anyway. I'll be honest with you. But overall, I'm telling you, a gentle, kind, loving, looking somebody in the eye and asking them questions about themselves, They like to listen. Besides, sometimes for a young man like this, hearing this kind of makes things click. Sometimes I kind of sense that their brain is like a Rubik's Cube in the moment. It's just, so, okay, those stories that I was told as a kid, it's like, okay, all right, I'm starting to get it, starting to understand this. That's sort of making sense. You can unlock the door of understanding of things that other faithful Christians have planted into the seedbed of their brains. All that to say, please consider finding a fishing hole. I like university campuses, kids sitting on a bench. You can talk to them. Find your fishing hole. Make it a regular part of your Christian walk. And I'm telling you, I'll be perfectly honest with you, when I came here today, a little apprehensive. But as is always the case, you come dragging your feet and you leave here clicking your heels. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.